The longest general election cycle in the history of the world begins today after Trump trounces on Super Tuesday. WPATH leaks. We go into what was in those documents and the threat it contains to children and families across these United States. A new study finds that if you smoke the devil's lettuce or the Peruvian parsley, you might be dealing with more cardiovascular issues. And we preview the State of the Union today on the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Loaded show for you. A lot to get into today. We recap Super Tuesday. It is Wednesday, March the 6th in the year of our Lord 2024.
Ding, 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 ding.
We are just
ding, 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 ding.
We're just 9 days away from that sacred day. Beware the Ides of March.
What was that ding? Do you know what that ding was?
It was a funeral.
Yeah, it was a death march.
Yeah. Well, we're on a death march, straight to election day.
Giant Meteor 2024.
I'm Justin Hall. Mitch Prosser is to my left. Maybe on all accounts. I don't know. But a lot to get into today.
I will neither confirm nor deny
on this Wednesday
that statement.
Some say I'm a Christian nationalist. Super Tuesday.
Some would even argue you're a Christian.
I hope the evidence finds me guilty. Super Tuesday was super duper awesome for Donald Trump's campaign.
And Ryan Binkley. Ryan Binkley.
It was super duper not for Nikki Haley. Donald Trump is now sitting with 995 delegates. He needs 1215 to win the nomination. We have a few more states still to vote, right?
BTW, for all you people out there that don't know that means by the way. If you added the collective of all the other people south of Donald Trump, how many delegates would it add up to?
Well, let's see. 89 plus 9 is 98, plus 3 is 101.
101. That's 101. It. Like Dalmatians.
That's it.
And Cruella de Vil's like, I got you all.
By the way, you have as many delegates as Asa Hutchinson. Donald Trump, 14 states yesterday. Donald Trump yesterday won 14 states. The following states went to Donald Trump: Alaska, Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia. Nikki Haley won a state.
Bernie Sandersville.
She won Vermont. By the way, Donald Trump's average margin of victory in those states in order. The margin of victory, 75, 70, 68, 61, 30, 23, 47, 41, 50, 66, 56, 15. Here's looking at you, Mitt Romney. And 29 in Virginia for an average margin of victory of 45.07. And in surprising news to no one, Nikki Haley has a speech plan for 10 a.m. today. We're recording this
in
Charleston, where she will announce that she is suspending her candidacy for President of the United States, effective immediately.
But
she's not going to immediately endorse Donald Trump either.
Correct. So here's a couple things.
If you suspend your Republican presidential campaign,
yeah,
does that mean you can't run as a no labels candidate?
Nah.
I'm just asking.
She said she hasn't.
She also said she wouldn't run for president.
Do you think she and Vice Governor Joe Cunningham would like?
They're both from Charleston. Well, they're both in Charleston now.
Yeah.
She's from Bamberg.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
So a couple things to think about on this idea of her immediately suspending her campaign.
Yes.
She can continue to stick around given the opportunity that Trump falters or fails in the court system. And she swoops back in and says, I'm still here.
Something catastrophic happens, she has the next highest delegate count.
But if she endorses, she joins the fray of all the other perceived candidates that also endorsed. Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't believe Mike Pence has.
Probably not.
I know Asa hasn't, and Chris Christie is still making it his kamikaze mission.
And Ryan Binkley is not out. He's got
is that?
He's a pastor.
You keep talking about him as if I'm supposed to know Dallas. Who he is.
Yeah, I believe.
Great. There are a lot of pastors in Dallas. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Is he running for president or something?
Yeah, I think.
Never saw him in a campaign stop.
I did.
Oh, congratulations.
I did.
You're one of the seven. Nationwide.
Well, that's actually true. There were seven people there.
By the way, not only was there...
But he did not have a Jeb line. Please clap.
I guess I should talk about the Democratic primaries. Do those matter? Joe Biden is leading with 1,497 delegates.
I think
because
you need 400 million delegates, super delegates.
And you need 1968.
I think
which in fact is 4 years before Joe Biden assumed a federal office.
You need the Jean-Claude Van Damme delegates, the Dolph Lundgren. There are so many different types of delegates.
Yes.
And you need the super delegates.
Dean Phillips, the representative from Minnesota, has zero.
No kidding.
Marianne Williamson, the weird crystals witch lady, has zero.
You mean like crystals the sandwiches?
Or? No, like crystals. Like crystals. And other candidates have 10. None of the above, maybe. Some people are familiar with that. Voters in five states, along with Joe Biden and Donald Trump being the nominees. Voters in five states picked nominees for congressional seats on Tuesday. California and Texas voted in Senate primaries, and more than one quarter of the seats in the House were up for primaries in those states, plus in Alabama, Arkansas, and North Carolina. California's primary system, also known as a jungle primary, sends the top two finishers regardless of party to the November ballot. That worked out well for Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff will face former Dodger and Padre first baseman Steve Garvey.
Who is 75 years old.
For the state's open seat in November, they topped Katie Porter and Barbara Lee. By the way, that field had a field of 27 candidates. Schiff was the top vote getter. The call that Garvey had the second position came a half hour later. Adam Schiff will be your next senator from the state of California.
And you know... how that worked out. The Democratic Party in California was actually paying for some of Steve Garvey's ads.
That's the same thing they did with Donald Trump in 2016.
Because they wanted to make sure that Adam Schiff had a Republican opponent for governor.
The worst thing that could have happened was running against Katie Porter or Barbara Lee.
Another Democrat, and then you've got this preponderance of confusion when it comes to who is going to be the governor, because virtually every Democrat
Senator,
because, say it ain't so, Gavin. Every person in the state would wonder which Democrat they liked best. In this case, it's like, Adam Schiff? And who's that guy that used to play first base for the Dodgers and the Padres? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And by the way, no one cares that he played for the Padres.
This is true.
Representative Colin Allred beat eight rivals for the Democrat nomination to challenge Republican Senator Ted Cruz in November, so Colin Allred will be the next Democrat to get beat by Ted Cruz in November.
And yet another one that has a pattern of addiction to losing.
Yeah, he won by 40 points in that.
See,
Sheila Jackson Lee turned back a challenge from her former intern, attorney Amanda Edwards, and she won the Democratic nomination for a 16th term.
No kidding.
16 terms. You need to go away, lady. All right. So Trump wins. He rolls. Nikki Haley is dropping out today. Again, we are recording this show ahead of that by about 15 minutes, so we're not going to have anything for you on that today. And to be fair, I really don't want to talk about it on Friday either unless I can make some funny jokes about it. So we're not going to go there. We're going to keep that there. So Donald Trump, Joe Biden, it is March the 6th. General election season has begun.
Well,
we have 8 months, folks. 8 months. 8 months.
All right, Alex.
Oh.
Listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing, man. Donald Trump is going to be, provided nothing happens in the court, he is going to be the nominee from the Republican Party for president of the United States. It's going to happen. The only news that we're going to get from the Republican side of the general election ballot in November, The only news we're going to get is what happened in the court and who the vice president pick is.
When do we get that? That's got to happen right around the convention.
I would imagine it happens right before the convention to make the convention just a little more exciting. Otherwise, it's like, oh yeah, we're all here to pledge our delegate count for Donald Trump. It's one of the largest landslides in modern electoral history when it comes to a delegate count.
That's because he's running as an incumbent. I mean, he's running as an incumbent. This hasn't happened in the Republican Party in any party, really, in a century.
We can unpack at a later time, maybe closer to August, the confusion on what he can actually do as a lame duck. You know, he says he's going for broke. He's going to be a cruel, ruthless dictator, but only on day one.
And none of that's true.
No.
He's going to bombastically talk to the ultra-right, and then he's going to govern moderately,
yeah,
just center, like he did in 2016. Right.
And then the question, the big news on the Democrat side, and you see it from the major media outlets, you see it from the Democratic Party itself, you see it from some of the talking heads within the party. When do they turn on Biden?
They already have.
Well, they've begun to pivot. There has to be foaming at the mouth. There has to be gnashing of teeth. There has to be rending the cloth and wailing in the streets.
Sure.
That has to happen. And once it does, who do they put in his place?
Oh, we all know. We all know. Mm. It's Gavin Newsom. We all know this. This has been the worst kept secret. Joe Biden, if he's the nominee in November, if he's getting votes in November as the front runner and he comes out to make either a victory speech or concession speech within that week of voting time, yeah, I said it.
Month.
Whenever election season's done, if he's the nominee, I'll eat my hat. There's no way. They're already turning on him.
Do you think? But I just don't know that it's Gavin Newsom.
And Gretchen Whitmer? J.B. Pritzker? It's not Michelle Obama. She's denied it now four times.
Well, but
Barack Obama can't be president again.
We all want to be wanted, and we all need to be needed. Oh, please stop. Please. No, keep it coming.
I don't think she wants that. I don't. What would she benefit from being in the White? What would she benefit from being president?
Absolute power.
They already have it.
Ish.
They already have it.
But now they could say the quiet part even more loudly.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
So I'm still holding out hope for my pick, Joe Manchin.
That's not going to happen either. Why would they? I'm convinced the Democratic Party will want to go further left. Well, they won't want to moderate. Their problem with Joe Biden is not that he's too far to the left. Their problem is that he's capitulating to moderates on certain issues and that he's old.
So you think their play is to excite the base?
Their play is to excite the base with a younger, more attractive candidate, Gavin Newsom.
No, they're not trying to moderate.
And no, gosh, no.
Does she stay on as vice president?
The party needs to have a political future. Sure, you can keep her on as vice president. Sure. She's a good little soldier.
How about Cory Booker?
Cory Booker? Spartacus?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think they can dust him off and send him back out there?
The goal is to have Gavin Newsom take the mantle, run against Donald Trump. Gavin Newsom would probably beat Donald Trump.
How about...
And
I'm going to go ahead and say this.
And then Hakeem Jeffries takes up the mantle in 4 years. 5 years. 6 years. 8 years.
How about another octogenarian?
We're not going with Bernie.
Bernie Sanders.
No.
Hey.
Bernie's done. Bernie's run for president now twice.
45 times.
And lost twice. Probably should have won both times. The nomination.
Yeah. Bernie.
And no. Bernie doesn't want to be president
anymore. The Bernie boys are back. No.
Bernie doesn't want to be president anymore. If Joe Biden's replaced as Gavin Newsom.
Maybe we could just put a picture in front of Joe Biden of Bernie Sanders sitting in a folding chair with his woolly mittens crossed. Yeah, probably not.
The big news on social media this week has been the release of the WPATH files. Now, WPATH is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, which I've been reliably told inside House and Senate hearings in this state, WPATH is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
WPATH is so important. They are so good.
It's the gold
for
standard.
Humanity. Well, Michael Schellenberger has dropped the WPATH files, and I'm just going to read through a few of these because some of them are pretty gruesome, and I want to try to read some of them to you. These are intercommunications between employees at WPATH, experts in the field up here at WPATH, and doctors sending them message on message boards. I have been reading, hearing some conflicting information about the effects of puberty blockers on total height achievement. I've recently received questions from an AFAB pre-menarche 10-year-old, what does this mean, about whether blockers will stunt his growth if he starts them now. I understand blockers can slow the rate of growth, but for those who start them at, say, 10 before they hit their growth spurt and remain on them for the 3 to 4 years total, what happens afterward if they opt to begin testosterone rather than resume puberty consistent with their natal sex, which is their birth sex, right, which can't be changed? So there's questions about whether puberty blockers can stunt growth. You bring up some very interesting issues. This is a different one. At what age should transition begin? And what are the problems associated with possible detransition as a person who is so young? I usually recommend that the person be living as the other sex for 6 to 12 months, since they may find that they are uncomfortable with the sex that they feel is appropriate. Also, they need at least one supportive parent involved. It is very difficult to ask them to wait until 16, because by then they will be dealing with menstrual periods and complete development. Waiting appears to increase the rate of suicide attempts. Now, why is that? I was told
it's suicide
that
prevention.
Not doing them is increasing of suicide rates. But doing them, doing these surgeries, letting children, I'm quoting a senator of this state, within the state house, not a U.S. senator from the state,
right,
that we need to let children be who they were born to be. And if we don't do that, they will die. I'm adding that last part in. He didn't say that.
No, but others have, because it's suicide prevention. We've got major insurance companies in the state, won't say who, who tell their employees, and I have this on
good authority?
Yeah, from an employee. When that person brought it up, it's suicide prevention. We heard a pediatrician 3 weeks ago in a Senate Medical Affairs Committee say, it's suicide prevention.
It's not suicide prevention. Hi, colleagues, friends.
They
wondering if anybody else has had to navigate the development of a hepatic adenomas in a young person treated with testosterone and or oral contraceptives. Without getting into too many patient-specific details, our team has a 16-year-old patient who was on norethindrone acetate for several years for menstrual suppression, so it's a girl who wants to be a boy and who has been on testosterone for slightly over 1 year. They have been found to have two liver masses. Hepatic adenomas. One of them is 11 by 11 centimeters, the other is 7 by 7. And the oncologist and surgeon both have indicated that the likely offending agents causing these masses on their liver are the hormones. And they've recommended that the treatment ceases at this time to allow for regression of the masses. So we're going to scale it back until the masses go down. Then we'll start it again. But we know that the offending agents that are causing the masses are, in fact, the hormones that we're going to continue to pump you with.
The Food and Drug Administration has said, warned that puberty blockers, known as GnRH, I'm not even going to try to say what it is, agonists could lead to the development of brain pseudotumors. That's a problem. So we're talking about puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. Yep. Let children be who they were born to be. Let's subject their bodies.
Let children be who they're born to be by ripping them open. Yes.
And we agree. We think every child should be who they're born to be. Children, young people, have a fundamental right, human right, to know their sex as a gift from God. We think they should not have to worry about being born in the wrong body and planting these seeds of body shaming.
Hi, all. I've been thinking more about what it looks like to obtain fully informed consent. I was curious to what degree, if any, other mental health providers discuss actual rates of surgical complications with clients when providing assessments for surgical care. Pain or loss of sensation, need for additional surgeries, necrotic tissue, infection, hematoma, strictures, implant-related complications, etc. I'm also curious if others think it is safe to assume that surgeons disclose actual complication rates versus informing clients that these complications may happen. I realize research on some of these complications may be limited for various reasons. So we know that these rates of complication exist. We know that complications from surgeries exist. And we know that these healthcare professionals are not informing patients who are dealing with gender dysphoria that these things happen at this rate. When you go to a doctor and they tell you, listen, we need to perform quadruple bypass surgery, you have multiple blockages, here's the rate of success, here's what can happen, and here's how often these things happen. They do that for those types of surgeries.
Yeah.
They do that for those treatments. But they refuse to do it for these. Why is that? Why is that, I wonder? You know, I could keep going on this, and we could, but I won't, because it's a bit of a waste of time, really, to continue on looking at any of these, because it's just, we all know what this is. We all know what's going on. What's going on is big business. What's going on is the use of children to make insane amounts of money, and they're doing it at the expense of children's health. They're doing it at the expense of their very existence as a person. And that is where we start to hinge on the precipice of losing our society.
Really what's happened, and I couldn't agree more, Justin. The frustrating part for me is so much, and we've talked about this for a while. There has to be a standard of truth. There has to be something that we all collectively point at. That will never happen. But there has to be something that we all point at and say, that is the truth. Whether that's the Word of God in the Bible, whether that's the science, whether that... And yes, the Bible does not specifically speak about every scientific methodology and discovery since the Bible was written. Of course it doesn't. But we understand that biblical truths are evident and present throughout all of creation, and certain behaviors that have been promulgated upon society as science aren't the science. They're just not. As far as I understand, once again, not a scientist, not a doctor, not a pediatrician. I'm Mitch at Palmetto Family. I have been told by reliable sources, people that know what they're talking about, that cross-sex hormones, I won't even go to puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, just think about the Orwellian speak, cross-sex hormones. In other words, you're putting a pill or a substance in your body that is telling your body it isn't how God made it in his image. Biologically, scientifically, the chromosomes aren't what they're supposed to be. And those cross-sex hormones go to war with your body at a cellular level every time you take them. And Justin, how often do you have to take those cross-sex hormones? Even if you've had a top or bottom surgery, how often do you have to take them?
I think you're on them for the rest of your life.
Every day.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life. And if you don't, regression occurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because you're changing your molecular structure. You're not changing your molecular structure. You're changing your cellular structure. I think, and I've quoted Michael Knowles often lately, but I go back to his speech at CPAC a year ago. Not the most recent one about marriage.
You mean he's made a couple bigoted speeches?
There can be no middle way in dealing with transgenderism. It can be all or nothing. If transgenderism is true, if men really can become women, then it's true for everybody of all ages. If transgenderism is false, as it is, if men can't become women, as they cannot, then it's false for everybody too. And if it's false, then we should not indulge it, especially when that indulgence requires taking away the rights and customs of many people. If it is false, then for the good of society, and especially for the good of the poor people who have fallen prey to this confusion, transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely, the whole preposterous ideology, at every level.
Check, check, and check.
I'm going to get called a bigot for that, I think. Did I just call for the genocide of transgender people? I don't think I did. I called for the eradication of the transgender ideology for the sake of the poor people who have fallen prey to the confusion.
Yeah.
Now, if you believe that men can become women, you might be high.
Speaking of high,
cover your... Everyone, I'm telling you, everyone who supports certain legislation, cover those ears, because this is anathema to you.
You won't want to hear it.
According to a study from the Massachusetts General Hospital, using marijuana as little as once per month, Mitch, is associated with a higher risk of both heart attack and stroke. That's right. Smoking the devil's lettuce actually has problems. Can you believe that? Taking a plant that creates hallucinogenic effects and or an altered state of mind at the very least. Okay, I'll just stick with the altered state of mind because someone's going to come after me saying, marijuana isn't hallucinogenic. Okay, fine. Taking a plant leaf that creates an altered state of mind and setting it on fire and then inhaling it into your lungs, breathing it into your lungs.
It's good for you.
Is shockingly bad for you.
Wait.
Who'd have thunk?
Wait. You're telling me everything I've heard so far inside the state house is wrong?
Well, what they'll tell you is you're not smoking leaf, and that's fine.
Oh, you're vaping it, which we've learned by the...
You're not vaping leaf, you're vaping the seeds.
Oil.
And the oil.
Oil.
Scientists analyzed data on nearly 435,000 patients ages 18 to 74. That's a lot of people. To see whether there is a link between marijuana use and a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, or heart attack. The data came from a behavioral risk factor survey collected from 2016 to 2020 by the CDC. Compared with people who have never used marijuana, daily cannabis users. Now, this is just daily cannabis users. Now, help me. Does that include medical cannabis?
Yes.
Okay. Daily cannabis users had 25% higher likelihood of heart attacks and a 42% higher likelihood of strokes. People who used marijuana, does that include medical marijuana?
Yes.
People who used marijuana just once a week had a 3% increased likelihood of a heart attack and 5% higher risk of stroke during the study time frame. Nearly 75% of the people in the study reported smoking as the most common way they got high. Wait for it. They also consumed edibles and vaped. The study did not specifically look at the risk of smoking marijuana. Smoking marijuana includes vaping compared to edibles. And it's unclear from the paper whether marijuana directly causes heart attacks or strokes, but it would seem to be that there is at least some loose connection between these two. Robert Page, a clinical pharmacist who specializes in heart disease at the University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy, is worried about the emerging connections between marijuana consumption and the heart. He was the lead author of a comprehensive statement on cannabis released by the American Heart Association, because we all care about the medical associations, in 2020. Quote, I think we're beginning to see the same things we saw with smoking cigarettes in the 50s and 60s. This is a signal. I feel like we're repeating history. Ultimately, it will take more rigorous studies to draw any firm conclusion, he said, which would involve following people for years. That type of research is difficult to conduct because marijuana is still a Schedule I substance. See, it's hard to do that because it's illegal. The new research found that the risk of heart attacks and strokes became higher the more days per month people use marijuana, which is called a dose-response relationship. That's right. the president of the American Heart Association, Dr. Joseph Wu,
Woo!
Drew a comparison to other common substances. It's the same dose response as somebody who smoked tobacco or somebody who drinks alcohol. The more you drink, the more problems you're going to have because those are toxins. In the same way, the more you smoke or vape, the more problems you're going to have. Ultimately, researchers concluded that the people who really should be avoiding marijuana smoking altogether are those with pre-existing heart disease, also everyone. But people with pre-existing heart disease are 1 in 20 people. For every 20 people, one of them have a pre-existing heart disease complication. That marijuana is associated with heart problems is a very urgent message for Americans to be aware of, said Wu, as 1 in 5 people over the age of 12 now report having used marijuana in the last year. Just because something's legalized, he said, doesn't mean it's safe. The director of the American Heart Association, you know the thing you used to jump rope for in school?
They still do. And they give away keychains for it, too.
Oh, do they? I remember you used to have to sell, like, cookie dough.
Yeah.
That was fun. Which is barrels. We had barrels of cookie dough in our freezer.
Which is really good for your heart.
Oh, gracious. Should young, healthy people be concerned? The paper found that among younger adults, defined as men younger than 55 and women younger than 65, cannabis use was significantly associated with a 36% higher combined odds of coronary heart disease, heart attack, and stroke.
No kidding.
I've seen it through the years with clinical practice many times, said one doctor, where sometimes we bang our heads against the wall thinking, why is this person in their 20s or 30s or 40s coming in with a heart attack? While it can often be attributed to things like extremely high cholesterol or cocaine use, sometimes there's only one factor they have in common. Quote, the only thing I can find after asking and asking and asking again and again in terms of potential risk factors is marijuana. So the smart thing to do would be to not smoke marijuana. End quote. What are we doing?
But what about gummies?
What about medical marijuana? Because medicinal marijuana is okay. Like, here's the thing. Marijuana might be dangerous, but when we put medicine in front of it, just the word medicine, it's good. It's fine. Everything's okay. And if you're against that, then you're not a Christian. So I've been told.
Yep.
So I've been told.
What about brownies?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
What about hand cream?
Sure. I want to absorb it. I want to absorb it into my skin.
Yeah, I don't want to use hand cream because it's like a topical ointment. Rice Krispie treats, that good?
I think anything is fine. You know what? At this point,
you know what I'm thinking? For all of you out there who are like, you know, it's just a leaf, not a big deal. I encourage you to go gather as much poison ivy as you can. Leaves of three. Get them. I'm trying to think of something to rhyme with three instead of leave it be. Wow. It's almost like this childish rhyme taught us that not every leaf of the earth is a good thing. Gather all you can. Smoke it. Or burn it. Did you know that the oil, if aerosolized in smoke by fire, actually can do more harm than you just rubbing it on your skin? Interesting. I mean, it's almost as if not every leaf of the ground. Is a Venus flytrap good for a fly?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Okay.
By the way, before we get to our final story, Nikki Haley has taken the stage. This is live, man. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. Quote, I have always been a conservative Republican and have always supported the Republican nominee. But on the subject of endorsing Trump, she cites words from Margaret Thatcher. Quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. Uh-huh.
What was her first statement again?
I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
Okay. All right.
By the way, she's taking the stage in Charleston. Probably probably very close to the same place we had Vision 24, if not the same place.
Is it really?
It looks to be very similar. Now, today is Wednesday, March the 6th, in case we don't remember. And tomorrow, March 7th, one of the latest dates in American history, it feels like, President Joe Biden is going to be given something, and then he's going to trot out. He's going to half run to show vigor. He's going to get up onto the dais, and he is going to deliver the State of the Union. Now, we've been doing this show, mind you. This is our third State of the Union on the program. Third. All of them with Joe Biden. And for the other two, I have given you a succinct synopsis of the State of the Union, and I will do that now. Madam Vice President, Mr. Speaker, esteemed justices of the Supreme Court, representatives, senators, and the American people, the state of our union is bad. Thank you. Have a great night. That's it. Now, the New York Times has an article, fueled by throat-soothing tea, guided by teleprompters and surrounded by six aides and one historian. Who? Does Joe Biden need a historian? He was here when we signed the Declaration.
I was going to say, to tell him what it was like when he was a kid.
Spent hours at Camp David last weekend honing in a State of the Union speech that will be watched by one of his biggest audiences before the November election. So the pressure is on. Mr. Biden, it should be noted, had with him at Camp David a copy of Possible, How We Survive and Thrive in an Age of Conflict, a book by William Ury, an international negotiation expert. Wait. I'm confused. We're in an age of conflict. Why is that? I wonder. White House officials have not said what topics the president will address or whether he will mention Donald Trump, his likely 2024 challenger by name, but Biden is almost certain to talk about the war in Ukraine, the war between Israel and Hamas, China, abortion, immigration, trade, and other topics in a speech he and his aides have been working on since December. December. It's March. Now.
It's a big speech.
The final speech, which aides say will be edited up until Mr. Biden gives it.
Mm-hmm. I love the scene in the West Wing where they're making the edits in the limo on the way to the...
It will be delivered by a president under pressure to reassure voters that he is not too old for the job. And more than at any point in his tenure, guard against political outbursts that have become commonplace during such speeches. Mr. Biden's aide says he is prepared for Republicans to heckle him. John Meacham was also called upon. So there you go. That should tell you all you need to know. I mean, I like reading John Meacham's books about presidents. I think he's a great historian, but super lib. Ron Klain said that the former chief of staff said the president, quote, works hard and rigorously each year. This is the classic. Behind closed doors, when I meet with Joe Biden, behind closed doors, he's so detail-oriented, and he's so strong, and he's so smart, and we go out and we run a 10K, and then we come back, and he makes a steak, and stop it.
Did you know he works out in a special White House third floor gym every morning at 7:30?
I was also told that the gymnasium in my high school had a pool under it.
By the seniors when you were a freshman?
Things that weren't true.
Oh, okay.
Things that weren't true.
You know what he should do for the speech tomorrow night?
It just pulls from, go ahead.
Do you remember when Saban had the Coke bottle?
More out of this Coke bottle than you will out of me. Yeah.
So he should get a bottle of it.
There's also another Nick Saban press conference moment that I think he should use, and I'll mention that to you after we get off the
air. He should get a bottle of Ensure and just put it up on the dais. You're going to get more out of this Ensure bottle.
I'm not going to tell you, so quit asking. Listen, they are already putting, this is what they shouldn't have done. They've been working on this speech since December. It's to show he's active and virile. It's to show that he's super with it.
They're just trying to make sure he remembers what the lines are.
I'm telling you, this ain't going to be good. He will flub Kamala Harris's name at least once, and he will forget who Mike Johnson is at least twice.
Who's that guy up there?
He'll mention his wife. And who knows? Pay attention to Jill. She and what's-his-face, the second gentleman, Dougie boy. Jill and Dougie might have another makeout session up there.
Careful.
So be careful there.
Careful.
Listen, The State of the Union used to be important.
It still is.
Is it?
Sure.
Is he going to... Joe Biden isn't going to change anyone's mind with this State of the Union.
No, I'm not saying he's going to change anybody's mind. But
he's not going to prove anybody right.
It comes...
Except Republicans.
But it comes with a list of achievements?
Name them.
Oh, that's not my response. It comes with a list of priorities. And this, I believe... I'll tell you this. If the... I'll be very careful how I say this because I don't want to sound conspiratorial.
Mm-hmm.
If the Democrats haven't already figured out that they're going to replace him in a few months on the ticket to be the next existing incumbent second-term president, this speech will determine that. This speech will be the one that says, can he still do it? Can he still look the part? Can he stand for an hour and a half through numerous applause lines, maintain his wit when he's booed without losing his sharp... I will tell you this, and disagree with me if you may. Fine. He has been good at maintaining a semi-quick wit when it comes to... being heckled.
Sure.
Being booed. Now, if he says corn pop, if he says oil slicks in New Jersey, if he says any of that, if he says, you know, the best word I can think of to describe America is, then they're probably going to say, all right, time to flip the switch, turn out the lights, and I'll go home. But if not, and by the way, I've been to Gambling 911, which is not a self-help site for those that suffer with gambling addiction. I can't find prop bets. I was hoping to give you a few prop bets on the speech.
We'll see what happens with the State of the Union. Again, we'll be in on Friday, Lord willing, to discuss that with you and to recap it with you. That takes place on Thursday. But again, the lead story that you'll hear much about today is the Super Tuesday results. Nikki Haley's speech, by the way, 4 minutes long. It was from her campaign headquarters in Charleston, and she is out of the race. So it's just Donald Trump, as it always was anyway. And Donald Trump will take on Joe Biden on Election Day in November, and we will figure it all out from here. We'll be back on Friday to talk about a lot more going on across the country and the news and the stories that matter to you that you're not hearing from any other place. That's why we do this show, because if you turn on the local news here in Columbia or if you're in Charleston or Greenville, you're not going to hear anything like you do here. And if you do, it's for about 2 seconds. Brilliant. And so you want this to be in the know and to be educated from a Christian conservative worldview. We'll be back on Friday with more of the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. From Mitch Prosser, I'm Justin Hall. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.